I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, June the 27th. Why is the African-American infant mortality rate in Wisconsin among the worst in the nation? Wisconsin had the worst rate, the highest rate of the 39 states in a recent report. And Racine County had the highest African-American infant mortality rate in the state. 28 African-American babies out of 1,000 die before their first birthday. We will talk this hour with a state lawmaker about efforts underway to improve this very sad statistic, and we will welcome your questions and your thoughts about this. Why is this happening? What can be done about it? What is the responsibility of the state to address this problem? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or you can send your question or comment via email, talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Our guest is a Democratic state representative from Racine, Corey Mason. He spoke at a town hall meeting on the issue this Monday in Racine and also sponsored a $250,000 grant that is currently in the state budget. The Joint Finance Committee passed that particular $250,000 grant to help address this issue, but our guest will tell us that its fate is uncertain as the budget process proceeds. Corey Mason joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So why is this such a problem? Why does Racine County have the highest African-American infant mortality rate in the entire country?
It's a great question. I mean, the best way to sort of understand infant mortality, from what I've understood, is it's sort of the canary in the coal mine for the public health of a particular community. So we know that infant mortality is kind of caused by two big areas, individual stressors that women have in their lives and infection, oftentimes preventable infection. And Wisconsin and as a whole, and certain communities within Wisconsin, Racine being the highest amongst them, really needs to do a better job of trying to address those stressors and those infectious diseases that lead to unhealthy birth outcomes. And that plays out really in a couple different ways. But the biggest indicator for African-American infant mortality, which is babies who die before they're a year old, is basically premature births and low birth weight babies. And so really, if we're going to get at this in a real way in Racine, that's kind of the big area of focus of how do we address why that's happening to pregnant women in Wisconsin and in Racine.
Well, what are the theories as to why that is happening, that there would be apparently so many babies born low birth weights or premature, leading to this likelihood of possibly dying before they're a year?
Sure. And there's sort of the acute answers that sort of talk about what happens during pregnancy that do that. So it could be smoking. It could be poor nutrition. In some cases, it's periodontal disease. It's gum disease. Leads to bacterial infection that leads to an early birth of a child. So it's in many ways just sort of accessing some real basic things. It could just be, can we get women into a smoking cessation program to get them to understand how smoking would impact their baby. Otherwise, but the larger, bigger issue is, for a lot of segments in our community, they haven't had the experience of accessing healthcare throughout their lives. Once a woman is pregnant, we do have access for healthcare funding through WIC and through some other programs. But if you're in a culture in an area where you're not used to accessing healthcare and you don't know what to ask for and you don't know what services are out there, you really fall between the cracks. And one of the best indicators of a preterm birth is whether or not pregnant women get prenatal care in the first trimester of their pregnancy. So if you've never thought of accessing or, you never had the experience of doing this, you really want to, it's going to lead to unhealthy outcomes.
What does this $250,000 grant that's in the state budget, what would that do?
It's for a good start of a good program that the Racine Infant Mortality Coalition has been trying to put together. And it's one of the things that makes me very hopeful about what's happening in Racine. There's a great coalition of public health folks, the city of Racine's public health department's involved. There's a firefighter and paramedic who's really involved with this. There's child care centers. It's a great community effort trying to come together to do it. But really, it's to do what the legislation calls for is using best practices, evidence-based best practices, which is a fancy way of saying, let's use programs that we know have worked in other parts of the country. So Harlem had a very successful program. Minnesota, to the west of us, has had a very successful program. What does that mean? And to oversimplify it, it basically means if we can reach pregnant women and meet with them with public health nurses and social workers and even just volunteers and mentors on a monthly basis during the pregnancy, get them into the programming they need, whether it's for smoking cessation or they need to see a dentist because they've got gum disease or whatever it might be, that leads to much healthier birth outcomes. And then it also means making sure that you're seeing that that mother that first year of the child's life so that you can make sure that the child lives to at least see their first birthday.
We are talking about why Wisconsin has one of the highest African-American infant mortality rates in the entire country and that Racine County has the highest African-American infant mortality rate in the state, making Racine County among the worst in the nation for the number of African-American babies that die before their first birthday. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. How does Racine County, how does the state turn this around? I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Corey Mason, a Democratic state representative from Racine, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Ben Marins is with you between 4 and 6 for At Issue with Ben Marins this afternoon, and then it's On Point, and after 6 o'clock, On Point, the CIA and its family jewels, nearly 700 pages of old spy secrets, examining what it tells about the agency's past and its future. That's coming up on Point. The issue we are discussing this hour is what the state of Wisconsin is doing about or should be doing about its high infant mortality rate, specifically the African-American infant mortality rate is the highest in the nation, and in Racine County, it's the highest in the state. We're wondering why that is and what our guest hopes can be done about it. He is Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine. You were also, Representative Mason, a part of a town hall meeting that was held on this issue on Monday. What was that about? What happened there?
Yeah, it was really, I mean, the great thing that can happen when you want to try to address infant mortality is we know that the vast majority of these deaths are preventable. So you have to do it, though, in a community-based approach. And so the town hall meeting was really to get all the stakeholders there. DHFS, the Department of Health and Family Services, came down and the city's public health department was there. And we presented some information on what we know works in other places. But really, it was to create this opportunity for the community to dialogue about what their concerns were, why they thought this was happening, but most importantly, what they thought they could do to engage the process and try to do something to help.
Am I right in looking at all this material, and there is a lot of material here, that the infant mortality rate for African Americans in Wisconsin and Racine County has not been going down, whereas the infant mortality rate for some of the other minority groups has been going down?
It has gone down over time. So if you look at in Wisconsin, it's really the African American rates have remained high, and in recent years in Racine at least have started to go up. But amongst whites and other ethnic groups, it's actually declined pretty steadily in the last 15 years, from about 9 deaths per thousand to 5 deaths per thousand. So, you know, it's moving in the right direction broadly. The question then is, in these particular areas of our community, why are we not seeing those changes? And that's really part of the challenge in working with this local infant mortality coalition is getting at some smart, effective answers on how to make that infant mortality rates decline.
We got a lot of callers. I have a lot of other questions, too, but let's go to the phones. Victor in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Victor.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Representative. I'm glad you bring this up, because I, as a black man, I've been seeing this problem getting worse and worse. I was born in 1961, and I've seen the root cause of this problem. You can trace it all the way back to AFDC and welfare. You have a culture of young black women being baby makers, and they think that is the thing to do. And of course, you know, they see their mothers do this, and it gets transferred. That's one root cause of the problem. But the ultimate root cause of the problem is dealing with young black teenage boys or young men. When you address that and tell them that, you know, when you make these decisions and look at the social and personal impact of it, then you can turn this problem around, and you can reduce this problem of infant mortality. And that is one of my concerns, is these young girls don't want to listen. And when I'm pretty sure people have told them, and adults and doctors and Planned Parenthood and schools have told them about getting prenatal care, but they don't want to listen. I think, you know, if you want to address the root cause of the problem, you have to attack the attitude of young teenage black men and women bringing these children to the world. There are community organizations that are trying to reach out to it. I mean, it's not, you know, the problem can be solved, but they're going to have to rev it up. There's Planned Parenthood, your churches, and everything to prevent the problem from even getting to this. It's horrible, but there is a solution. People just have to reach out more.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's an excellent point, Victor. You raise a couple of good points. We've been talking so far this hour about getting health care and prenatal care to mothers, but you raise a good point about, you know, there are two people involved in creating this baby, and one of the things that they've talked about is how to make sure that you are keeping the father involved in this process however you can. Although you did say one thing that I wanted to address about whether or not you know, the mothers know about the care and are just kind of turning away from it. In the experience that we've seen, actually, that's not always the case. I mean, there are some pockets where, you know, the churches or Planned Parenthood or other nonprofits are reaching out. But the research that we've seen, you'll hear women say, you know, I had no idea I was even going into premature labor. I just thought it was normal cramping, and it leads to an unhealthy birth outcome because they didn't even know what to look for or what to expect. So we've still got a ways to go, I think, to make sure that women and are as informed as they need to be to get the health care that they need and know what to expect so that they have a healthier birth outcome. But you raise a good point about the social safety net and making sure that people have the care that they need. And just to go back, when people said, well, why does this happen? There are two big indicators. One is certain kinds of infections, but the other is just real stress that people have in their lives. We know that that leads to unhealthy birth outcomes when people are stressed. And if you're in poverty and you have poor nutrition and you might be in an abusive situation or you don't have access to the support that you need from a larger network, that's going to lead to unhealthy birth outcomes. So we've got to do a better job of sort of coming around pregnant women as a community and making sure that their babies are born into a community where they know they're going to be supported.
Yeah. I don't know if you have the answer to this. We had a caller who gave up, who wanted to know if SIDS death, sudden infant death syndrome, are included in infant mortality rates?
They are. Yeah. They are. And it's actually, it's about 10% of the deaths that we're talking about. And actually in Racine, there is a Cribs for Kids program that they have started to try to give cribs to young mothers to make sure that they know safe sleeping patterns and how best to make sure that your baby's on a firm, appropriate mattress and, you know, that you're doing the right things to make sure that the baby doesn't suffocate while sleeping and encounter SIDS. But it's a factor. It's not the biggest factor. It's not the only factor, but it is a factor. And there's a firefighter in Racine who's actually been spearheading this to give young mothers cribs for their kids to make sure that they don't suffer the fate of SIDS.
Mm. Brett in Blue Mound is with us now. Hi.
Yeah, thanks, Joy. Interesting program, and thanks to Representative Mason for his leadership on this. Have you looked any at cleaning up the air? We've had a lot of pollution warnings, and dirty diesel has been shown to cause asthma attacks and premature birth and death in children and adults. And biodiesel, using more biodiesel might be a solution to help clean up the air in Racine and Milwaukee County. So. Mm-hmm.
It's a good point. It's one of the environmental factors that are out there, just sort of toxins in the environment. It's one of about 7 or 8 factors that they look at. How specifically, I don't know that we have, I don't have a specific answer for what the exact correlation is between air quality and birth outcomes, but we know that it's getting access to care and women having to deal with those, that sort of unhealthy environment is a contributor. To what extent, I don't know precisely.
Representative Mason, talk a little bit about how you did become so involved in this issue.
Yeah, believe it or not, the local paper, the Racine Journal-Times, has been writing a series on this. They've been calling it sort of the crisis in the city and covering the Racine Infant Mortality Coalition and the work that they've been trying to do. And initially, I just sort of read about it in the newspaper, and they talked about how the coalition was meeting, and I thought, well, wow, if we have rates that are that high, it's really shameful. So I was just sort of motivated just by the numbers of it. But I also, you know, my personal experience growing up is my mom taught Lamaze classes growing up. So as a young kid, I just sort of watched my mom provide this environment for pregnant mothers to help them make sure that they had healthy birth outcomes. And I just thought, you know, it's too bad that we're not doing more to make sure that all parts of our community really have the resources they need to have those healthy birth outcomes. And there's no reason we can't. So that's sort of my own personal motivation for it.
Yeah, to kind of put this the problem into a little bit of perspective, from the Racine Journal-Times, citywide, 12 of every 1,000 babies born don't make it to their first birthday. That rate is twice as high as the infant mortality rate in the state of Wisconsin. Take a subset of that group, black babies, and the numbers are even worse, with 28 babies per 1,000 dying in their first year. Cynthia in Sun Prairie is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's nice to talk to Mr. Mason and yourself.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, I used to live in Racine, and I'd been a social worker and a probation agent, and I've noticed that there have been a lot of changes. I've been away for 7 years, but when I go back to visit, the socioeconomics has changed so much. It reminds me of some of the steel cities in the old days. And the African-American population, I haven't heard you discuss how young these mothers were. My experience was back in 99 that we were dealing with 11 and 12-year-olds that were having children. And there was already, at that age, a high level of drug use. And I'm wondering what we can do about that when it seems to be inherent in families. I remember doing home visits where I dealt with great grandmothers that were already great grandmothers at the age of 41 in a particular family. And it's just so deep in the culture.
Yeah, Cynthia, we only have a minute before a news break, Representative Mason, but are a lot of these babies being born to very young African-American mothers?
Some of them are. Age is one of the indicators that leads to an unhealthy birth outcome, depending upon how young they are. But we're also finding the interesting thing about African-American infant mortality rates is it spans throughout different age groups in ways that you wouldn't expect, and it also spans through different class structures that you wouldn't expect. I mean, you might think that this is just poor African-American women that we're talking about, but it's actually all African-American women, regardless of class. So there's some interesting things that are going on there that maybe might be counterintuitive to what you think. But, you know, younger mothers is definitely, you know, part of the solution that we're looking to address by making sure they get the care they need, especially because they're so young.
We are talking about why nearly 3% of the black infants born in Racine County don't live throughout their first year, with Corey Mason, a Democratic state representative from Racine. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Wednesday, June the 27th. We are talking with Corey Mason, a Democratic state representative from Racine, about why Racine County has the highest African-American infant mortality rate in the U.S., according to a recent report. Racine County has 28 African-American babies die out of every 1,000 dying before their first birthday, and that leads the nation, or at least it leads this report that includes statistics from 39 states. And Representative Mason, The other states just don't break it down, so we just don't know.
Yeah, that's my understanding, is that the 11 states that don't have this information, just they report the overall numbers, but they don't break it down statistically by race and ethnicity.
Yeah, we are welcoming your questions, your thoughts about this issue. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And maybe I'll put it this way. Is the $250,000 that has been allocated in the state budget for the City of Racine Public Health Department to try to fight this problem, to try to help this problem, is that money well spent? Should that pass? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Obviously, since you sponsored this, Representative Mason, you think it is money well spent.
I do think it's money well spent for two important reasons. I mean, I think morally, you know, we all have a responsibility to make sure that children born in our state are born into an environment that's healthy enough that they're going to live to see their first birthday. So, I mean, sort of a moral imperative that I think we all share. That's a goal that we can all buy into as a state and a community. But if I can't get you on that argument, I just encourage people to think a little bit about what we spend in Medicaid dollars on these premature babies that are born. So what happens now is when we do no preventative care, when we do no prenatal work, when these low birth weight babies come into the hospital at the high end, if they're less than 750 grams, we will spend over $250,000 in a neonatal intensive care unit just to address their healthcare concerns. On average, premature births cost Medicaid $44,000 per child. Now, if we spent just $2,000 or $3,000 per child on prevention, you would substantially reduce the amount of money that's spent there. And in Wisconsin, over a third of all births are paid for with Medicaid dollars. So, you know, there's nothing smart about spending, you know, almost $45,000 on average for premature babies when we could be spending $2,000 or $3,000 of tax dollar money to prevent those unhealthy birth outcomes. And then children are more likely to live. So I think it's a win-win all the way around.
Let's take another call. Andrea in Lancaster. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering, I've got a couple questions about the housing stock in Racine County and how that might play into it. I guess my first concern is, my first question would be, you know, has anybody looked at the housing stock in terms of, you know, mold or cockroach infestation or rodent droppings or rodent urine or, you know, heavy levels of dust or whatever in these old houses that could be increasing the chance of asthma in these babies or, you know, other sort of pulmonary problems? And then the other question about the housing stock is, you know, I know that Racine's cleaning up its historic lead paint problem, and that there are some pretty strict rules now for landlords. But historically, like these women who've grown up in these houses with, you know, in impoverished areas with lead paint, do they have, you know, are we looking maybe at some sort of subtle cognitive thing where they just, where, you know, a certain subset may have been exposed to a lot of lead as kids and they just are cognitively unable to make good choices?
And I mean, the housing is, I think, a factor that would maybe contribute to the environmental factor. But what we're finding that really the biggest factors are just basically getting women into the prenatal care that they need. It's a factor, but I don't know that there's any specific answer that could give, you know, really say that it's the housing stock that's driving this. It may be very well an environmental factor, but I don't think we know enough. And I guess this maybe leads to another point. Part of the monies that have been allocated here require that the city health department report back to the legislature on what's working and what's not and what the causes are. So is it because that there's a rash of gum disease amongst pregnant women in Racine that these low birth weight outcomes are occurring? Or is it because we have more pregnant women who smoke than other places in the state? I mean, the truth is we just don't know yet. And, Dr. Teresa Johnson, who's part of the Racine Infant Mortality Coalition, she's with the UW-Milwaukee. She's working on collecting that data birth by birth just to see what the cause of the unhealthy outcome was being the cause of death. So we'll know more moving forward, and it's part of why these monies are important, because right now we speculate based on what's happened in other places and what we think the indicators are, but you really need to know what the root cause is before you can address it. And so it may be the housing stock, but it may be these other things as well.
Yeah. And you said something just before news time that we didn't have a chance to follow up on very much, that while poverty and the lack of prenatal care obviously has something to do with this infant mortality rate among African Americans, you said that this is happening among African American women across the board. It's not just
low-income women. Yeah, it's a fascinating, it's counterintuitive to what you might think, mm-hmm. that this is entirely driven by poverty. And don't get me wrong, poverty is a driver, mm-hmm. but stress can be just as big an impact. And we're finding that the research shows that that African-American women, regardless of class, are having unhealthier birth outcomes compared to other ethnic groups. So it's really important to sort of understand why this is happening.
Yeah, thank you very much, Andrea. Mike in Wauwatosa, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, this is a tough one to really, you know, put any certain definitive answer to, but, you know, you look at the societal factors again here with probably more, the need for more abstinence education, I would say, and it's not only for young African-American women, but I think it's for women in general and for society in general, just to know that, you know, instead of having the problem afterwards that now is in society's lap, I think we should start from, you know, the basic structures here. The gentleman that called in about the responsibility of the African-American male again with these young ladies, I mean, all of it goes back to the family, in my opinion. Again, the family structure in our country has just been blown apart. And it's not only in the African-American community. I think it's across all social structures. And you go back to the Great Society with Lyndon Johnson and the Welfare Society, and a lot of these things start manifesting themselves, and it becomes such a problem and such a diverse problem that where do you go with this? I mean, it's like the game where you've got heads popping up and you can't keep up with the mallets now. And I just think, you know, we've got to get back to basics again in the United States. And again, I'm not placing the certainty here on only African Americans, but all across societal structures here. Just wanted to get a comment on some of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things to talk about and one of the things the researchers discuss is sort of a life course perspective on addressing these issues. So, in other words, if we're doing things to address everything from health education to nutrition and stress and abuse and tobacco and alcohol abuse prevention and poverty and just the lack of access to health care, I mean, these are all factors that come into play. If you can address this for women throughout their lives, not just once they become pregnant, they're much likelier to have healthier birth outcomes. So you raise a good sort of larger point, is that, you know, we need to do stuff with pregnant women once we know that they're pregnant to make sure that they have healthy birth outcomes. But the best way to do it is to make sure that women have the education and the resources that they need to have healthy birth outcomes just as often as white women do, frankly.
We are talking about infant mortality and specifically why Wisconsin has the highest African-American infant mortality rate in the U.S. and that Racine has the highest African-American infant mortality rate in the state, meaning Racine has the highest rate in the entire country. It's worse than Mississippi, worse than Arkansas. It's about the same rate or around Kazakhstan, Nicaragua. We are talking with Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine, about what he hopes can be done about this problem and welcoming your thoughts and questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, I'll welcome in a guest political analyst to look at the current state and the fate of the immigration legislation now before the U.S. Senate. That's coming up in our next hour. Right now, we're looking at infant mortality in Wisconsin and in Racine County in particular, the highest African-American infant mortality rate in the entire country can be found in our great state of Wisconsin and in Racine County in particular. We are talking about why that is and what can be done about it with Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine, who has been very involved in this issue and is one of the sponsors of a $250,000 grant to help fix the problem that is currently in the state budget. This money, $250,000 for the Racine County Health Department that was put in the state budget, was put there unanimously. Representative Mason, the Joint Finance Committee, voted unanimously to include that. But you're a little concerned as to whether it will survive the budget process. Why?
Well, there's all the new spending is going to face sort of an uncertain future when the budget comes over to the Assembly. The Senate just passed it yesterday. And there are those who've talked about they want to make sure that whatever budget the Assembly passes has no new spending and will have no increased funding in any programmatic areas. So, you know, there is a concern about what would happen. I'm hopeful that the Assembly wouldn't try to remove this as an item since it did pass Joint Finance unanimously. But I know that there are those who are talking very broadly about making sure that there's no new money spent on the budget. And, you know, that it's a real concern about whether or not we're going to keep this in as a priority or not.
Yeah. Let me go to Mike in Milwaukee. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very good.
Hi, Mike.
Well, you know, I this sounds real familiar to me. Back in the early 90s, about 15 years ago, there was legislation that was written for, it was called the Right Start, I believe it was renamed from the Family and Community Investment Act, was its original name. And it was asking at that time for $30 million for a statewide program to work with parents to educate them on how to take care of their children, how to discipline, how to take care of themselves so that they're better parents, to provide for their children's needs. And it started out at about $30 million. We had a Republican legislature and a Republican governor. And every time it went down for a vote, the Republicans voted it out. And it's just a matter of curiosity that these are the same people that are value human life so much that they're anti-abortion. But yet when it comes to these living children who are desperate, they're considered a social program. And that same politic is existing now. And back then when I was doing the research on it, Mississippi had decided to spend the money. Mississippi isn't in a better situation than Wisconsin because they just happen to be better parents. They're there because the state decided to spend money, and they thought the infant mortality rate back in the early 90s was bad, and they did something about it. Minnesota and the state of Hawaii also did something about it back then. And, you know, we need to be aware of the political divide here. And this has been an ongoing thing, and it's not just Racine. I'm sure Milwaukee is not far behind. Back in the early 90s, also the rural areas, the poor rural areas, weren't doing much better. So I just wanted to hear your comment regarding that. Thanks.
Sure, sure. Well, I don't remember exactly what was going on in the early 90s. I was finishing high school at the time, so you'll have to forgive me for not knowing the specifics of it. But more broadly, you know, I mean, what I found when we took this proposal in front of the Joint Finance Committee is it did receive bipartisan support, and we absolutely were pleased with the way these arguments resonated with legislators on both sides of the aisle as something that really sort of struck them. So it did pass unanimously, and we have the hope that that's going to move forward. But your larger point about investing in prevention is one that's worth doing. I'll reiterate what I said at the top of the hour about, you know, infant mortality is sort of the canary in the coal mine about the state of the public health of your community. It's the indicator that's sort of the most dramatic litmus test of how your community is doing. And we have to do some things that, that make some sense that are going to reduce these things. So, you know, we need to invest monetary resources, and we'll save money on the back end with Medicaid dollars when we do that. We need to make sure that the program's family-centered and community-based, and, you know, churches and other grassroots efforts are critical to the success of this. But we need to make sure that policymakers also understand that, you know, we have a real responsibility to all of our community to make sure that they're in a position to do this, and that there is a real connection between investing in public health and prevention and the outcomes that we have. Yeah.
So you don't think that that political divide, that ideological divide, maybe that Republicans think more personal responsibility and less government programs, less of a nanny state, that exists today?
There's, I mean, we didn't hear that much of it in the debate. I know that that attitude exists, that sort of the pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But with some of these women, you know, they don't even have boots. So it's really hard to say pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But the outcome of saying that in this particular situation is that a child will die before they're a year old. And I don't think most people are willing to hang on to that view so tightly that they're willing to let, you know, babies, the most vulnerable in our society, not live to see their first birthday. And I think that's something that we can really build bipartisan support around.
Yeah. Therese and Gresham, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Therese. I'm actually a family doctor. I was curious, I think there's been studies in other communities when obstetricians and family doctors have pulled out of communities in terms of delivering, that access has been gone down. So I'm wondering if people are looking at whether it's obstetricians, family docs, or midwives being available in the community for access, because the continuity is a big issue. And I'll hang up.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Access to healthcare on an ongoing basis is a critical indicator. I was trying to say this a little bit earlier, but, you know, we're going to have a harder time if the first time that these women are accessing healthcare is when they become pregnant. So you want to have an ongoing sort of access to healthcare for women generally, so that when they're pregnant, it's not the exception that they're getting healthcare; it's the norm. And having that as a real partner is real important. We are lucky, I have to say, to have Wheaton Franciscan as a real partner, as the hospital in Racine, where the vast majority of births occur in Racine, really taking this on as an issue and have been real partners in this process. But yeah, that ongoing access to healthcare is critical. It should happen throughout women's lives, not just once they become pregnant. And when you do that, you're going to have much healthier birth outcomes.
Yeah. We did get an email from Thelma in Racine. You mentioned dental issues as a cause of infant mortality. In Racine, women on Medicaid have great difficulty accessing dental care. Can you speak to the legislation to increase Medicaid reimbursement for dental services in Racine?
Yeah, actually, I can. There's actually another motion that Joint Finance adopted was, we're having a great difficulty finding dentists for poor people because the Medicaid reimbursement is, I believe, 30 or 40 cents on the dollar. And so dentists are not as inclined as one might hope to take on Medicaid patients. There is a pilot program for three counties to do the reimbursement rate at 75 cents on the dollar to see if that increases care. And we're very optimistic that it will. Racine is one of those counties, as is La Crosse and Brown counties. And we're going to try to use this as a pilot program to see if we can increase access to dental care broadly, but then really getting some of these young women the access to the dental care that they may need that, again, can lead to infection and early and unhealthy birth outcomes.
And Tina in Fitchburg is with us now. Hi, Tina.
Hi. I definitely am enjoying the conversation today, but, you know, as an African-American living in Wisconsin, I've lived in Milwaukee most of my life and then in Dane County for the last few years, well, last 15 years. And I have a lot of relatives in Milwaukee and Racine. Don't hear as much from the ones in Racine, but I know that as an African-American woman and with my husband and two sons and their families, I know people don't like to hear it, but there are systems that prevent people from having access to or getting equal treatment, too. I'm very concerned when you say stress, because I know that there are a lot of things that happen to me only because I don't have the things available to me that a Caucasian or white American might have, that I have to go through a lot more trouble to get the things that relate to my ethnicity And so those hoops that they jump through creates more stress, and that's at every level. Because if we look at it, how we have to fight for our sons because they're sent to prison, how we have to, mm-hmm. sons and daughters, we have to fight when it comes to an education. We have to fight even to go to a store to purchase something, that there's no representation of people who look like me. And that happens, and I would think that in the areas of Racine and Milwaukee and Dane County particularly, that we would have access to those things. But here in the year 2007, a lot of times we don't have equal access to education. We don't have equal access to medical care. Even though we can afford it, we're treated differently. I had a niece who in Milwaukee who was sent home with a box. She was told her baby was in. She was sent home with a box and a piece of paper. Said when it passes, can put it in this box.
Yeah.
Wow. And so those kind of things.
Tina, I'm so glad you called. We're losing you on the cell, and we're losing time in the hour. We're almost out of time. I added a very powerful perspective to this discussion. A quick reaction.
Yeah, quickly. I mean, stress is a real indicator, and we do find that the stress of both poverty and racism do contribute to this. There's actually research that sort of indicates that. So she's on point with that.
And next step for the budget, very briefly?
Next step for the budget is over in the assembly. And I guess just to wrap up, if I could, the thing about infant mortality is if we come together as a community, we can prevent these deaths. And we just really need to invest in the resources to make this happen.
Thank you so much for being with us. Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine. Thanks to Karen Prager and Christina Taylor for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.